Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, Wonderful Approach. This is Mama Seven, and we're doing radio. We're in the classroom tonight. We come into the classroom to do what? To learn, to build, to grow, to share, to learn new skills that we need to learn, and to sharpen up some old ones that maybe we've gotten a little dull on. So we're in the classroom. A day after a day of fasting, after a day of being white. For most people, this is hump day, so it may be challenging for all kinds of reasons today. But we're here, and we're trying it. And today is 02-02-2022. Is that enough twos for you? You know. So we're knee-deep into this very strong astrological symbolism going on here. And this year is going to be full of them, because later on in the year we have an 02-22-2022. So, you know, these twos are so important. I know a set of twins born today. So, you know, they're just going off. But, you know, every day is a blessed day. It's a blessed day because it's a day that God has made. And we're going to be spending time focusing on how we can continue this day being a blessing for us as we wrap up our day. Honestly, for a wonderful approach, we got a couple of little situations, you know, going on. We have people that are stressed past capacity. We got, some heartache still going on. We got a lot going on. And I was sitting in the middle of prayer yesterday, and Spirit said so clearly, like my voice, clear, we got to start praying for each other. And I was like, oh, Spirit, we got that. You know, and she was like, do you though? So whenever I get that little kickback, I'm always like, oh, my goodness, someone's not making their prayers. And or someone could be praying stronger. You know, someone could be really, you know, applying themselves. It, you know, it's not enough just to listen to the vent or the rant. It's not enough to, you know, I do my checking in texts, you know, when I see the smoke signals coming off the horizon. You know, it's not enough to just text. Put some action behind what you're doing and what you're saying and make some prayers. That's how things get done. You know, prayers are the very foundation of everything we do. And so it's like the prayer. Expect, you know, because when you say the prayer and you expect the prayer, then you expect God to come in and intervene. Once God is called, we don't have to worry about it anymore. You know what I'm saying? Once God is called, we know that God's will be done. And so, you know, don't just hit that like under a stressed out post. You see if people's going through it and that's not enough. And so, you know, God has empowered each of us with a gift, and we've got to use this gift for the masses. And, you know, but before we can start packing our bags and going here and there to reach our people, before we start doing that, you know, let's spend the time that we do have pulling and reaching for each other. You know, strengthen your brother and sister that's right close to you. The one right there going through stuff, you know, and we're trying to reach out to the world. Let's not. Let's focus on ourselves first, our house, our children second, our individual community. And a wonderful approach is your community, you know. And then let's start reaching out to others, okay? But don't leave a wonderful approach out thinking that Mama Seven got it. Mama Seven got her part. That's one person. What if all of us started praying for all of our prosperity? What if all of us started praying for all of our health? You know, we have brand new babies in our mix. How about we praying for the babies that are here and the babies that are coming? You know, marriages and unions don't stay together by themselves. I can tell you, they take work, a lot of work. Let's start praying for these unions, the unions that are here, the unions still to come, you know? So, you know, don't get so comfortable in saying your 2 minutes worth of prayer for yourself and then stopping. There's so much more. There's so much more. So I'm going to, whoever is to hear this, whoever the message is for, because, you know, I always say a wonderful approach, but, that, you know, sometimes the messages are bigger than even we are, right? So whoever this message is for, I'm going to tell you, don't limit your prayer. Don't minimize your prayer. God has given you authority. Use all of your authority, okay? Don't. God is not short nor cheap with you. Don't be short or cheap with yourself, okay? So just, you know, whoever needed that, there you go. But move into your authority because God says so, all right? And then you'll start to recognize other people recognizing your authority. You know, it's just something that happens. When you keep getting blessed over and over again, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. Sit back and be like, yeah, I know I'm blessed because I keep my head pointed towards God and my eyes and my voice and my positivity on me and my community. My community of prayers and everything else like that. Right? So, last week, oh my goodness, and I love all of the shows, and I keep saying this, I really do. I enjoy doing the program. I enjoy the new shows. How about the new show? We've been waiting for this for a minute, and I'm very glad to present it. But the men's show, the Lion's Den, that is coming in tomorrow at 8, Thursday at 8 o'clock, the Lion's Den. And Solomon is going to be rounding up the men folk for the program. So when Solomon calls you and says, hey, the world wants to hear from us men, I want you to answer. When Solomon says, hey, I don't know about this spiritual stuff, you're going to have to show us and guide us and teach us. You're going to have to answer the call. You know, a lot of people get called, you know. Now, a lot of people want to answer the call. But really, it's time that we have to start allowing and we have to make space for the men. You know, it's not enough just to, you know, call you our brother. It's not enough just to say, you know, we're here for you and stuff like that. We have to show it. I don't listen to no words, no mo. I want to see it. I want to see the action. And, you know, to have a very young man trying to promote spirituality and trying to promote manhood, he's going to need all the support he can get, brothers. So let's continue to be supportive of him, and he'll be on the program tomorrow at 8. And I have another secret show coming up, and everybody will hear about that one very soon. But we're doing all this program, and they're like, Mama Seven, why all the programs? Was Wednesday not enough? No, it's not enough. Wednesday for an hour and a half, people listen to negative TV shows for longer than an hour and a half. people listen to this crazy mess they have on a radio that they call rap music now for more than an hour and a half. You know, people will sit and argue with loved ones or gossip or whatever. There's a lot going on in this hour and a half. So this 1 hour and a half once a week, that's nowhere near enough to combat some of the negativity that's going on. So this is why I hope this grows and grows and grows, and we have a show every day. I hope we get to the point where we have 2 and 3 shows. You got to listen to all of them, but get in where you fit in. Every time you're listening to In a Wonderful Approach program, you are turning back the grip that negativity has on us. Every time you call in and contribute, you are turning back the grip, okay? You are saying, hey, you're not going to hold me in this tight negative place. I really, really hope that we can expand to the point where we're going to need more people, not just on the front end, but also on the back end, putting shows together, producing them, pushing them here and there. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Let this thing grow as big as it can get. If this is our contribution, then let's go ahead and do this. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, this is us. This is what we're doing. All right? So, if you have time, tomorrow. If you don't have time, make time. And if you can't make time, Solomon Davis has a Facebook page. I think it's Solomon Davis. And also, you can listen to the show afterwards. But just give a young person some encouragement as they really try to make something happen, representing, doing such a big job, because it's a really big job, of representing manhood. So, you know, give them some encouragement along the way. Last week's show kind of got everybody revved up. It was such a beautiful, I don't want to say example. It was a beautiful display of the diversity and the possibility of love. Last week's show was on Love Your Neighbor, and it was beautiful. We got a chance to really sit down, work with a couple of love gurus, but to listen to some people, you know, share the strength of their love, sometimes their origin, where they really got that aha moment from, you know, what made you know that this was love, you know, and how do you begin? Me and Mama Khadijah have been laughing all week because she said, oh, we have got to grow this love. And I said, what, we got to farm it? You know, what do you got to do for love to grow? How do you grow love? You know, and we have been making that's been our little inside joke, you know, because she'll ask me, you know, how's your crop coming? You know, how's your love crop coming? How is your effort and energy to grow your understanding of love, your desires for love, your everything? How is that coming? How are you handling that? And I was like, you know, of course, it's a wonderful opportunity for us to sit back and say, I'm handling it well. It's a great opportunity for us to say, well, you know, maybe I do need a little bit more. And then also for us to think about, where do you get your love from? Where do you get it from? Where does your idea of love come from? And it's a spiritual program. How do we spiritually prepare ourselves for love, for growth, for harmony, for all those things? So it was a really, really good program. If you want to listen to it, you can always go to A Wonderful Approach Facebook page. All the shows are there. You can also go to A Wonderful Approach, the website. The shows should be posted. I think there may be a day or two delay for them on the website. But Facebook, they should be there that night. And we are trying to really, really get people to think about these positive spiritual things. even if, you know, it's not so fun. You know, if you don't have a love in your life, we're talking Valentine's Day is up. That's the commercial love, you know what I'm saying? But right now, if you are not dealing with in a loving, romantic love relationship, you may be like, bah humbug on all this love stuff. I don't want to deal with this. This isn't my thing. You know, so, you know, there are times when love can be difficult because of one situation or another. This is when you have a support system. This is when you have people that you can call and touch base with and build with. I know, you know, one thing that our dear sister Makita always says, and it makes me laugh when I say it, but when she says it, but then I'm like, man, I so get it, and I so understand, and I know how big of a deal this is. She always says, if I had this when I was your age, you know, oh, what a difference it would have made, you know. And for all of us, we have to start thinking about love right now in a way of survival. So we have to all right now, you know, even though the kids may be little, may be young, may not get it, they still need to know and be taught what love is. They need to know and be taught how to positively express it. And so it's a real thing. It's a real thing. So we got to work on that, okay? And work on it. Work on it within yourself. Like me and Mama Khadija have been saying, farm it if you got to. So all of that good stuff is there. It's important. Let's really try to make this work, okay? Quick shout out. Hey, Sister Melissa, I just got a message. Been listening to the classroom on live stream in real time. Look, technology is good. I love all this stuff. You know, I no matter what, you can get access to this. And you can, whether you're streaming it on a phone, going back, I had a sister tell me, especially during devotions. During devotions, we're on this radio every single day because we need to. Because when you're in the middle of fasting and you're trying not to cuss people out because you're hangry and you're not getting enough sleep because the sun won't set earlier and, you know, you feel like you're switching from day to night and night to day, all of that, when you're doing all of that, yeah, we need to work with some things. We need the prayer. We need the connection. We need the fellowship. You need the program. And even though it's at 7 in the morning, you won't care because you'll be like, I need someone to say something nice before I flip, right? So all of that's fine and dandy. But I'm glad that we have these technology tools that we can use that can help us do what we need to do, okay? All right. So today's program is the other F word. Okay, and I know you're like, Mama said, don't you start that foul language, okay? No, I'm not trying to start the foul language, but it's going to feel a little foul, at least for me it does, you know. And what I'm talking about, the other F word is 100% fear. And fear is such a bad word. You know, I don't know why we utilize it. I don't know why people allow it to be used around them, on them, anything. But fear is real, okay? And just like anger, it's expressed a couple of different ways. So someone may be sitting there and may look like they're angry, but, you know, someone may be sitting there looking depressed. They can be sitting there looking many different ways, and, you know, you ask them, what's wrong? They'll say nothing, but really it's that anger, and what you're seeing is the tip of the anger. You know, they don't really know how to express it, but it really, anger can balloon and look like so many different things. And so it's something that we really have to watch, not just the anger, but also the byproducts of the anger. Well, fear is the exact same way. If we are not actively managing the fear, if we're not actively, checking it, steadying ourselves against it, then we run a risk of, allowing the fear to win. And see, now we're talking bad words, in my opinion, because fear can't win over me. But if you let it, it will. That angry thing, overwhelmed is an aspect of angry. Nervousness, if you can believe it, is an undercurrent of angry, annoyed, disappointed, guilt, distrustful, shame. All of those lead up to angry. Now, angry is what you see. That's the top part. Everybody can see that part. But what we don't know is what's building underneath of it. Well, fear is the exact same way, okay? Fear has, there's an outward expression, and then there's an internal thing that are going on in ways that could be expressed, right? Why are you talking about fear when it comes on a spiritual program? You may be asking. Because it's important. Fear is not godly. In 2 Timothy verse 1, chapter 7, it says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." You see, fear is not a God element. So if you are feeling fear, or if you have fear, you have moved away from the God element, okay? So this is why this has to be brought up in this particular circle. A wonderful approach. We're using spiritual methods to understand God and understand God's ways, understand God's will, understand what we're supposed to be doing, okay? In Isaiah, and I love Isaiah. I've been back and forth in that book of Isaiah. It says, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Do not be dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with my right hand of righteousness." There's so many times and places and spaces where we have to understand, don't do this because God is here. Psalms 34, chapter 4, "I sought the Lord and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears." So this is telling us there's plural fears. Ugly things, disrespectful things, but they're here and they're dangerous. Why might a fear be? I can see fear being unnerving. It'll have you second guessing and keeping you in a frazzled state of mind. But why is it so that God is speaking over and over again about us not fearing? Well, we just said earlier, because where there's fear, there's not God. If you are fearful, then that means you're believing something could happen that is outside of the control of God, and that's not possible. Okay? Like they say about worry. They say if you're going to worry, if you are worried, pray. And if you're praying, don't worry. Because, if you're going to worry, don't pray. Now imagine that. As much as we talk about pray, we can't move away from prayer. So if worry is the other side of prayer, we're going to stay far away from that. Because worrying, we're over-concerning our bodies. And to me, not to me, but what I hear is I don't believe that God can help me. So I'm going to keep it in my mind. I'm going to keep thinking about it. I'm going to worry myself about it because I'm fearful that it's not going to work out in my favor. It's not, no. What we do is we make prayers that God's will be done. We make prayers for clarity of mind. We make prayers for healing and for the repairing of the heart. But God knows best. You see? So we don't have to worry about all the other stuff. God got that. And that's really what we say. And that's really how we do and how we feel about things. God got that. That's not ours to hold. Not ours to manage. God got it. Let God have that. Okay? It's the same with fear. It's to say there's nothing to fear. There's nothing to fear but fear itself. There's nothing to fear because God is in control. When we start to fear, then we start trying to grasp controls that we don't know how to handle. We don't know how to work, but we're sitting up here trying to hold stuff, right? No. Nope, nope, nope. Not to do it. And there's different types of fears. If you've ever gone up that mountain with me, and I say that with all the love in my heart, you know, especially because I have another group about to go up in the mountain with me. If you've ever been up in the mountain with me, you will know fear is a bad word. We don't fear. And I'm not saying that everything that happens in your life you're going to be great with. You're not. You know, we deal with real hurts and pains and loss, grief, disappointment. We deal with things. I'm not saying life is perfect. Not at all. Not at all. What I'm saying, though, is that there's a force bigger than us in charge. And our job is to pray. Our job is to remain diligent and aware of what's going on. Our job is to create, generate positivity, farm it if you have to, okay? You know, this is our job. But in order to do that, one thing I learned on my own spiritual journey, and one thing I've learned through watching and walking other people through their spiritual journey, right? One thing I have learned is this is a process. This is something that we don't have to worry, fear, or fight about, that God is truly in control. And there are a lot of things that we have to unlearn before we can learn the right stuff, you know. And it's not just a matter of just packing it on and packing it on. I was talking to a brother one time, and he said, look, I don't want to go back and dig up that old stuff. I want to just move forward. I want to, you know, I don't want to have to keep digging and digging and fixing. Just what do I need to do from here? And my answer was go back and dig. You know what I'm saying? We have to remove some of these old habits, these old outdated thinking before we can even move in the positive. And no one wants to do it, okay? Not him, not me, not nobody. Nobody. No one wants to have to unpack that baggage because a lot of times we've done a lot of work to pack it up, right? We've done a lot of work to hide it. We've done a lot of work to run from it. We've done work to disguise it. So why in the world, Mama Seven, do you want me to go unpack the very things I've been hiding? I've intentionally packed them up. And you want me to unpack it? The answer is yes, I do. And it's because that baggage gets heavy if we don't unpack it. Because God created us and we didn't have those issues and concerns, we're not going to drag around pains and issues and concerns all our life. That's nonsense. We're not going to do that. What we're going to do is we're going to unpack them, put them in their proper place, and then move forward. And we may, and okay, so Mama 7 does a lot of traveling. Yes, I do. And my bag is already pre-packed. I take out some stuff I don't need. I add in some stuff I do. And then I keep it moving. Hurry up. Let's go. This week is this place. Next week is that. And especially during the summer, it's bananas. During the summer, I will allow my youngest to travel with me. And, oh, my goodness. Then we have two bags. You got to get big plans for the cats. We got to do this. Okay. I have a backpack. And it stays semi-packed. I pull out the old, put in some new, keep it rolling. Right? But if I got stuff already in that bag, how much stuff can I bring? I'm already hindering myself. I'm already slowing myself down. Stop doing that. Unpack your baggage. Allow yourself really to see everything that you have, okay? Let's work through these fears. A lot of the fears are founded on untruth. You know, they're not even true, what we're worried about. You know, I have sat in many people's closets. I am a counselor. I sit in the closet. I've seen it. It's ugly. I understand it. But so what? Everyone has an ugly skeleton in their closet. I've met the most perfect, beautiful people, and she had a big toe. She had a big, ugly toe, whatever. You know, there's always something. You know what I'm saying? One eye's bigger than the other. Whatever. And you'll realize that that doesn't even matter. So fears, what I have found, are usually unjustified, all right? So definition, fear, an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief, not the fact, the belief that someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Verb, to be afraid of someone or something. That does not sound godly at all. Even just going through the definition, and I like going through the formal definition because that helps us to really understand exactly what it is. A lot of times, especially in English, we'll misuse a word. But that is absolutely the truth. It's a belief. It's not a fact. And this is why we have to make sure that we're being honest about it. We have to be honest. Number one, we can't fix what we won't recognize. We can't fix what we won't see. And a lot of times, people be closing their eyes tight. They don't want to see it. But that doesn't make it less. It doesn't make it untrue. It just means you ain't see it because you keep closing your eyes. Right? There are different types of fears. This first one we've heard of 1,000 times. I'm hesitating saying it. That's how ugly it is. I just despise it. But here it is. The fear of success or the fear of failure. And, I can't stand this. Oh, how can you be afraid to succeed? Isn't that what we're doing all this for? But it's true. There are some people that are afraid to succeed. And usually when there's a fear in place, someone helped put it in place, especially when it's firmly in place, okay? When you believe this beyond a shadow of a doubt, that means someone helped you. Whether it was a parent that didn't know any better, didn't care any better, This is a wonderful approach. We got on its ear. I got to say it. Whether it was a spouse, a demeaning spouse, that in the middle of their own issues, in the middle of their own challenges, held you back? Could it have been a societal norm? Because, you know, I don't know how many little girls wanted to grow up and be the president of the United States of America or the vice president of the United States of America. But I'm sure plenty of them, whoever did dream of that, was laughed at. They said, you can't be the president. You're a girl. You know what I'm saying? So no matter who gave you the fear or who placed this doubt deep into your soul, it's there now. And the fact that they have placed it deep into your soul, deep, it's still your responsibility to get it out. Can't let that sit there like that. It is so unhealthy. You have to remove that. It's bad. So one, you have the fear of success. You have the fear of failure. And there are books, there's retreats, there's workshops. That's this whole animal by itself. Okay? Fear of poverty. I'm hesitating because these are such, they're heavy hitters for me. And it's not that I have a lot of fear in my own life, but I know how devastating these fears can be. I know of people that have literally allowed themselves to stay in horrible relationships, horrible marriages, whatever, because they were fearful of not having their ends meet, or maybe this is going to cause a hardship or financial or whatever. And they stay, and they're so unhappy. But they stay because they're scared, afraid, fearful, whatever you want to dress it up and call it. But that fear got them stuck like deers in headlights. It is very, very sad. This is a really rough show, you know, because we're talking about real topics. We're talking about, you know, things that hurt people, you know, and I am not that person. I don't like having people feel discomfort and pain. But if we don't talk about this, family, we're going to stay here. I'd rather talk about it and hurry up and get out of it, you know? All right. Fear of criticism. Disgusting. Fear of criticism. Now, some people, I was speaking with a grown man, 50 years old, and he was telling me how he's made some mistakes in his life, and I'm just listening to his story and being as patient and as compassionate as I can in this setting. You know, when you're in a jail, it's hard to really get emotions and stuff like this. And he is, you know, just really pouring out all of his heart to me, blah, blah, blah. And I keep asking him, I said, where did this start? Because this didn't start when you developed a substance abuse issue. The substance abuse issue came from another problem, a deeper problem. No. This didn't start when, you know, your wife left you. Your wife left you because you had a substance abuse problem. You know, this is deeper. This is deeper, further back. Well. So he's going on and on and on. And then he gets to the point, and y'all don't know him, and he said, you know, as a kid, I was always teased. And I'm like, geez, okay. Yeah, I know about that. You know, my youngest son had been teased, and it really bothered him, and it did start to shape some of his beliefs and everything like that. So I understand. I'm talking to this man. And he was teased about the way that he looked, particularly the way his teeth looked. And I was like, oh, my goodness, that can be difficult, blah, blah, blah. I said, I have to see, what do your teeth look like? Because I don't know what I was expecting, but for this man to be 50 and traumatized behind this, you know, I had to see this. I just, because my mind was just going through, like, do your teeth turn into snakes? Then, you know, my brain was going too far because I was like, how in the world are you at 50 are still carrying this, because this man is getting emotional and tearing up. And I said, oh, no, I got to see these teeth. I got to see them. So he shows me his teeth, and I'm looking. I mean, they're white. They're square. And I'm sitting here like, and I look at him, he had to compose himself afterwards. And then I'm like, dude, are you serious? And I'm like, I'm going to say this to you. It's going to be hard for you to believe me, but there's nothing wrong with your teeth. Oh, yes, they're not perfect. They're not symmetrical. They're not. And I think to myself, boy, I am never opening my mouth around you because my teeth look horrendous. But I couldn't believe that he had allowed this critique of himself to shape so much of who he was. And I was like, sheesh. How important is it that we have our own voice? Now, Spirit tells us that, and we know that. But, you know, we know it and we say it. But at that very moment, it was so real to me how important it is that we are kind and gentle with each other, that we don't do the unnecessary, you know, joking like we do, shooting the dozens, whatever, whatever. It's so important that we be gentle with ourselves. But there is a fear, you know, once you get to the point, once you've been over, like, imagine an artist, someone that has to be critiqued and criticized and, you know, I'm an art critic. That's a bad word for some people. You know, the fear of criticism will have you having a house full of art, but you won't sell it. You won't show anybody. You won't do anything because you're afraid that someone may not like it. Absolutely not. But it's a real fear. And I can see why it's ungodly. Can you see why it's ungodly? Because this fear will have you locked in place, not moving, not growing, not evolving, not doing anything. So absolutely horrible. Fear of sickness. Now, I said fear of sickness. No one wants to be sick. We're not talking about things that people want or they're comfortable with. But why would you be fearful of it? And I didn't quite understand that, you know, and I'm like, fear of sickness. And then my co-host, Spirit's like, COVID. I said, oh, snap, we're in the middle of this. We have a whole world going crazy because they're afraid of sickness. That's true. But that fear of sickness, the whole country, they're like, we need you people to be at work. So we're going to take your quarantine time down from 14 days to 10 days to 5 days if you ain't got no symptoms. Soon we'll just be like, look, take a Tylenol and do the best you can, okay? But the fear of sickness is real, and it has created a rift in our country between vaccinated and unvaccinated people. It has created a lot of fear in the way, you know, certain businesses, certain things we were doing wrong, we could be fair with that, okay? Certain things we were doing wrong. We were, what I found out, I was washing my hands. But I found out some of y'all weren't. We were standing way too close to each other. We were not sanitizing, and that makes my stomach kind of turn, but we weren't sanitizing enough. And so some of these changes are for our benefit. We needed to make the adjustment. But the fear of it is not healthy, okay? All right, so next fear. Now, I know this is something that I struggle with here. Fear of losing loved ones. Now, there's not a nice way to say it. You know, there's not an easy way to say it. But we're not made to last forever. There's something to lose a loved one. And I like grief. I like working with people in the expression of grief. The reason why I like it is not because it's easy. It ain't easy. The reason why I like it is because the way I help people process grief, they get to remember the good stuff. And we can take the pain out of it. But there's no pain like someone who has lost a loved one. There's no pain like that. The pain is so deep on an emotional level that it can create physical problems. Now that's some hurt. It's real. It's very serious. And as much as I like, well, I think the reason why I like working with people in that is just because I like to make that pain go away, you know. So it's uncomfortable. It hurts. For most people, I say, this is going to take some time. I'm not talking about a day or two or a week or two. I'm talking year or two. You're never the same, ever. But to have a fear of this will have you doing unhealthy things, will have you not living a life, will have you, you know, making bad decisions because you're afraid. I know one of the hardest things I've had to do is take my oldest to school and then leave. I was willing to take him to school and just commute back and forth, but no, they said no. But, oh, that was difficult. And I didn't lose them. I could still go visit them. But that access, that everyday access, that I wake up in the middle of the night and I go check on everybody in their room access, I did lose that. And that was hard. That was harder than birthing them, because birthing is involuntary to a degree. I had to voluntarily choose to do this. It was difficult. But to be fearful, remember what I said now, fear is different. Fear will have you like a deer in headlights, not moving. And you can't do that. Again, we're talking about getting unhealthy. All right. Fear of old age. And I know a couple people going through this. Don't make me say no names. Don't make me say no names. Fear of old age. I have been waiting to be 50 probably since I was born, okay? One of the reasons why, because everyone who I knew was 50 had a flip mouth. Oh, they just said whatever they felt like and didn't nobody say nothing back to them because they were, quote, unquote, elders. So all my life I've been waiting to get to 50 so I could tell people how I really feel. And I'm here now. So I'm like, I don't even look like they look, you know what I'm saying? Do I have to have a cane to start using whatever language I want to use? Or, you know, like, what are the requirements for the mouthpiece and everything like that? I have never had a problem being older or looking older because in my brain and in my upbringing and in my belief, now we're talking about belief, in my belief, age was wisdom. So I was okay having the wisdom and looking like I had the wisdom. You know what I'm saying? It was always interesting to me, and this is crazy, but in Winnie the Pooh, you know, the owl, old scruffy owl, he always thinks he knew everything. I always thought that the kangaroo mom knew more than the owl. And she was always so nice about it. She just moved the owl around and just whatever, whatever. And Mr. Scruffy sitting up there and all his books and all. And the kangaroo mom was just making things happen. And I was like, do y'all see the mom is doing the work? The mom's working, right? So wisdom, knowledge, the old owl had the knowledge. He had the books. He knew this. He knew that, right? But wisdom came from applying it, and that's what the mom was doing. And I always thought that was really important. But America is making a killing off of people who are not trying to age. And not just not trying to age, but fearful. We have hair dyes. We have plastic surgeries. We have all kind of Botoxes and everything else like that. We have grown women wearing young people's clothes because they want to look that and reflect that. I can't tell you how many billions of dollars are spent on makeup each day. And young people wear makeup too. But older people wear makeup like a religion. It's a little different. All of the hair extensions, this, that, and the other, there's a false teeth, all these different tools that we use to stop the aging process, to fight the aging process, to look like we're not aging. Yeah, that's good. That's fine. As long as it's kept in perspective. But when you're doing risky surgeries, we may be moving into the unhealthy, you know, and everyone has that boundary when they know they're going too far. You know, you're going too far, you know, there's a beauty in aging, in my opinion, because I've always thought it was good. There's a grace in aging. You know, I love the silver foxes. You know, I believe that you can still have a beauty while aging. So whether you think you're beautiful or whether you don't, okay, we're working on that. But when we get to the unhealthy fear of it, when we start doing avoidance techniques, we have to watch when we get to the fearful part, okay? And that all comes from where? Our beliefs. All right. And the last one that I have here is the fear of death. I'm not making plans on dying. Okay. I know that that is purely God's lane right over there. At the same time, I'm not trying to jump up and down and volunteer for it. I'm not trying to be the next. No. I would like to see my children grow into adult. I'd like to see some grandchildren. There are some things I would like a wonderful approach to experience. There are some, you know, I get excited thinking about all the babies that are coming into the organization. And the babies having babies in the organization, and we're getting marriages. We're having, you know, I can see now, you know, we're getting some age upon us, wonderful approaches. And so now we can see, we can start with the, oh, I remember when. Because we do. It was a time ago. And I remember this, and I want to see that. I don't know what Dr. King was going through when he was saying he knew his time was coming, and he said, I may not get to the mountaintop with you. I was like, wow, to build this, you know, to look out on the water and to see all those people and to know that you're not going to get a chance to see your movement through, or at least through enough to be safe. But he knew. You know, if we think about all the Prince of Pieces, we think Jesus knew. He knew his day was coming. He knew how it was going to happen. And the last temptation is about him knowing and still moving forward. You know? Fear of death is real. This is why, you know, everyone knows I do a lot of work with spirit, with spirit. And the hardest work is from, the absolute hardest work is from those spirits that were snatched, you know, those spirits that went very quickly, because they really didn't get a chance to, like, say their goodbyes. They weren't clear. You know, some of them were snatched so quickly they didn't even realize that they were, that they had transitioned, you know? And so those are the hardest spirits to work with, you know? So there is a fear of dying, and sometimes you don't realize it until you've already transitioned. Those are real fears, okay? Even I have to recognize that the fear of losing a loved one is so, it can be immobilizing, you know what I'm saying? I can't sit here and call Solomon 15 times a day. Are you good? Are you okay? Are you good? Are you okay? You know, I have to allow him to live, and that means I have to mentally process that. You know, when Talib was a baby, he had his own little baby, not even a baby. He was about 3 or 4. He had a little bed that was beside my bed, and I would spend most of the night just looking at him, making sure he was fine. Now, this boy, the reason why he was in his bed and not in my bed is because he was a wild sleeper, still is. And I'm like, no, I don't want to fight with you all night. I just want to make sure you're fine, okay? I just want to look at you. So I understand that desire to know that they're okay, but you can't stop your life nor theirs to do that, okay? So it's definitely a process. It's definitely a process. So as we go through these fears, we can acknowledge that these fears are hard. We can even acknowledge that we've had some issues with them. But what we can't do is say, I'm going to get stuck right here and stay here, okay? Fear is a very primal emotion. And fear triggers that flight or fight response. So in fear, when you are fearful about something, you are like, I am about to make some changes right now. See, that's my problem with fear. Fear will have you doing things that you know you should not do. You know you can't do. You can't do well, but you're going to do them because you're fearful, right? Example, right here, right now, we are dealing with a housing crisis. I, myself, have been trying to move for a year and a half. I know many others that, you know, this housing fell through, that housing. Me and Mama Khadijah were talking the other day, and, you know, people that were trying to buy a house, have the money in hand, and people are bidding over the cost that the seller is asking for, way over, $10,000 more, $20,000 more, just not getting the money, not getting the support. You know, the prices keep going up, and it's ridiculous. It is straight abuse, okay? These people, these landlords are just being greedy, trying to get people for everything they got, not really the value of the house, you know what I'm saying? I've seen houses what I would call small, you know, 12,000 square feet, not 12,000, 1,200 square feet, going for $1,200 a month. I'm like, yo, disrespectful. You know, so what does fear make you do in that situation? Well, fear will have you out there trying to beg, borrow, and steal to get it, to move into it, because right now it's very competitive. You know, people not only are willing to spend it, but they're so fearful that they have to spend it that they spend it. Fear will have you making rash decisions without, you know, really being feeling comfortable enough about saying, okay, this is good, this is good. No, no. Fear will have you out there. I don't care what it takes. And then you realize what it takes. In relationships, fear will have you, fear of losing someone. Let's say you're in the relationship and you're fearful of losing them. Fear will have you holding on tighter than what you need to. You know, even in the situation with Solomon and I had to learn how to let go of him a little bit more than what I was holding him. I didn't want to. But fear of him just totally pushing away and saying, no, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this, blah, blah, blah. I had to learn how to adjust before I started his fight or flight response where he's like, I'm out of here. I don't care what it takes. So fear can be very dangerous. They talk about backing up an animal into up against the wall. Mm-hmm. You'll find out how serious that fear is right when that animal realizes, I can't go nowhere. I got to go through you. I'm about to go through you. So I know I have not called for too many people to call in, but I would love to hear from you. If you have a story or if you want to really just acknowledge, hey, it's time for me to acknowledge this is a fear of mine. You know, now's the time to do it. You know, wonderful approach. We don't hold punches here. We all the way in. So if you would like to press 1 and let me know when to speak, that's fine. If you have a good technique for moving through prayer, that's also helpful too. Because fear is one of those things, it don't just pop up once. And just like a stray cat, once it realizes it can get some milk out of you, it seems like that fear will pop up everywhere then. Always asking for $20. And you're like, dang, go on. So, you know, not only do we have to put fear in place for ourselves, but that fear will take advantage of you. Because it already knows your weakness. It already knows what you're afraid of. So if you would like to share about that time, all you have to do is press 1. That'll let us know. That you like to speak. So this has been one of those tricky ones, okay? This has been one of those ones I've had to even pay attention to for myself because it's easy to say, oh, I am not afraid. I don't have fears. And I, you know, I don't think I do. You know, the average person doesn't think about it. But what we don't do is what we don't sit back and acknowledge, hey, this could be healthy. We don't sit back and say, ooh, I wonder why this is triggering me. You know, and for anyone who doesn't know what triggering means, it is when a situation will get a response from you. One situation will remind you of another situation in a negative way that will get that response. It triggers. It takes you there. It forces something else to come about. And so we can get triggered by anything. Anything can trigger it. A smell, a sound, anything. If you have a fear of death, your own death, anyone's death might trigger you. Anyone. You know, so it doesn't have to just be yours. You know, just talking about it or seeing a funeral, you know, the parade, I call it. But, you know, I think it's called procession. Excuse me. Any of those things can make you, can trigger you if you have a fear of something, okay? If you have a fear of sickness, and right, like I said, it's COVID time. But if you have a fear of sickness, anyone making a sniffle sound, people have allergies, people have all kinds of reasons why they sniffle, but that doesn't matter. If you have a fear of it, then you're going to take it to the max. You know, I remember, you know, right when the vaccine, when everyone was really, really pushing this vaccine, I was like, I had some people get aggressive with me. They were very, very, very unhappy that I wasn't interested in getting the vaccine. And, you know, my thing is, you know, live and let live. What works for one person may not work for another, so it's okay. You know, if you want to get it, I'm not against you getting it, and I don't want you to be against me not getting it. But there were some people that were, you know, I had to listen to either patiently, because I didn't have to, but I patiently listened to quite a few lectures about it because, and I knew where they were coming from was a place of fear. And it was on both sides. There were some people that wanted to be protected, but they were afraid because they know the government has done things in the past. So their fear that the government was going to possibly hurt them or they were going to have a bad reaction stopped them from getting it. And then there were others that were so afraid of getting it and how it could be harmful to them that they were, you know, fearful. And I said this, and I say this all the time, decisions based on fear are not good decisions. I'm not saying that you can feel however you want to feel. Let's gather the information, though. You know, one thing we know, that fear is based on belief. What do you believe and why? Who put this belief inside of you? And if you don't know, I'm going to ask you to challenge your belief, okay? We will get into a habit of saying, oh, this is it. And then some child, because it's always a child, and some child will come back and say, well, why? Why is it always like that? And we don't have a why. If you don't know a why, then I'm going to ask you to challenge why you feel like that. If you don't have a reason why this is going on or how this is going on, I'm going to ask you to challenge it. It's okay. But challenge it. Find out why you feel this way. I am a decent swimmer. I used to be a great swimmer. I used to play water polo, so I'm a decent swimmer. And I have taught, I'm going to say, about four or five people how to swim. These were not average people. These were people that were scared of the water. And I say all the time, I don't care how scared you are, I can teach you to swim in three sessions, three one-hour sessions. Impossible, impossible. I'm too scared. And I mean, when I say they were scared, I had to literally hold their hand to get them to walk down the steps. That's how scared. And you can feel their hands are shaking, their lip, a little lip is trembling. And I'm like, look, I said, you are a grown individual. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. And the fear was so gripping. But swimming, to me, is a safety skill. You need to learn how to swim. I mean, doggy paddle. I mean, all my children have, and I have one child that swims, and I have one child that swims like a rock. So, you know, it's safety. You got to know how to swim. And for someone like me who loves the water, I did not understand why they could be fearful of something. So, I mean, I believe in water safety, but water fear? Mm-mm. And every person that's ever gotten in the water with me in 3 sessions have learned to swim. It's that easy. How? How do I do it? I'm going to tell everybody the secret. We had to move past the fear. Once you get past the fear, the doggy paddle takes all of 20 minutes to learn how to do. It's just getting past the fear. Literally. And I tell people, look, I promise you, 3 sessions, I'll get you. And I've done it. I've done it a number of times. I do it because I like to move people past fear. Don't let anything hold you and limit you, especially something that lives in your brain rent-free. Uh-uh. Fight that. Fight that a little bit more. We cannot have that, okay? So I hope everyone took the program and listened and then listened again. I hope everybody can kind of take this a step further within their own self and think, do I have one of these fears that I'm keeping with me, that I'm letting live rent-free in my brain? And if you do, let's start acknowledging that and moving past it. What does it take to move past it? First thing is you got to acknowledge it. You got to say, oh, this does bother me. This is concerning. I do need help with this. And I promise you, when you do those things, help usually just falls out of the sky. I want to say, how do you know exactly when to call me? And I'm laughing to myself. I don't know. I don't know. Spirit says, hey, reach out to so-and-so. And I'm like, yeah, that's a great idea. And so I do it, you know, not knowing. She's like, oh, I'm ready. I just need some help. And then Spirit says, hey, I'm going to plant this seed, and here we go. Get that help. So it's one of these shows. I'm so glad that everyone tuned in, and I really want you to take it a step further, okay? Don't let that fear get you. Don't let that fear hold you. You spend that time moving past your own fear so that we can start building further, more, getting more out of it, okay? All right. We're moving into our prayer portion. This is how I get out of a lot of my fears. You know, one of the reasons why I say teach the babies the prayers is because anytime they're having, you know, a nightmare, when I say babies, I'm talking about people, young people, you know, under 18, probably over 10. When they're having difficulties in their life, when things aren't going their way, when they're, you know, any of those situations, I hate to say this, but we're talking about bad things today. We're talking about, you know, negative things. Children try to hurt themselves. I remember Talib was 11, and a story had came out with a child that was about 11 who had successfully took his life. And I said, ooh, okay, it's time to talk to my youngest child about this. And I sat him down. I said, okay, son, I need you to understand there's some very sad people out there. They're so sad that they end up hurting themselves. And I'm thinking that I'm talking to an 11-year-old with 11-year-old vocabulary, And he says, yeah, Mom, I know someone committed suicide the other day. I said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are you talking about? What do you know about this? Who said that to you? He said, yeah, we had to talk about it because, you know, I think it was in the same city or something like that. And so all the schools were talking about it. And it just broke my little heart because I was like, man, I don't remember being 11 years old and having to think about this and do this. And, oh, I don't remember that. But our children have fears. Some of the beliefs that still haunt us as adults were created when we were children, okay? Imagine how much further along we'd be in this whole secular life if we had someone who was actively, positively helping us to create our own positive belief system. How much further along would we be? How much happier would we be? How much more in control of our thoughts, feelings, and emotions if we had someone who took the time to teach us about our own thoughts, feelings, and emotions? Where would we be? Just, you know, just thinking, where would we be? I think we'd be a lot further along than we are right now. I'm pretty sure of it. So say all this to, you know, remind you, let's spend some time working on healing our own inner child and making sure we're removing these fears. Where did they come from? That's the first step. And try to get rid of them. Where did they come from? One. Then we could talk about how to get rid of them. Okay? All right. And then also, not trying to burden your positive plate anymore than what it already is. But if you have a child around you, a young person around you, think about trying to unpack their emotional baggage a little bit by just giving some words of encouragement, okay? Don't miss an opportunity to be encouraging to someone. Don't miss an opportunity to push your envelope of positivity on someone who, because when we take a step, we're taking a step. It's like, oh, good, step. But if we can put implant a positive word, a positive seed into a young person, that's taking yards. You know, that's taking lifetimes. And it's really, really making such a big difference in their growth and development. So I'm going to be ending on that, but I really want people to understand how powerful they are at those very moments when they're doing that for themselves and for others, okay? I'm not going to let fear rule me. I'm not going to let fear rule me. I learned at a very young age I had nothing to be fearful of. God is watching me. My great aunt, my mommy Neil, used to always tell me that. Oh, you don't have nothing to be worried about. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I really wasn't worried to begin with, but if you say so, okay, I'm going to run with it. God got you, girl. God got you. I'm like, oh, okay, that sounds good. And she was part of the, you know, the force and the support that my mother had. And, you know, they were insistent on me learning the prayers. You know, she's got to say the prayer. You know, Luke, you need to come tell me your prayers. Come say your prayers for me. And it used to just tickle her to hear, you know, this child say prayers. But, and I knew that there'd usually be a little reward on the back end, you know, a piece of candy or something for saying my prayers correctly. But, you know, in the middle of the night when I was having difficulty, bad dreams or whatever, you know, I would wake up and run to wake up and open my eyes and say my prayers, because I knew that is what saved me. That's what saved me. You know, I can run for my mom. I can call for my mom. She'll come running down the hall, and I could be making my prayers. So teach your children the strength that they have in a relationship, in a personal relationship that they can have with God right now. Let God be something that they grew up with. You know, when you're getting reintroduced to something, you know, especially as adults, we have standards now. You know what I'm saying? We need standards. You know, we don't want to be friends with just any and everybody. When we were kids, we didn't care. You could stink. You know, you can have clean clothes or dirty clothes. You can have shoes or no shoes on. It didn't matter. You know, it was like, hi, I want to be your friend. You know, hi, I like a new friend. And that was it. You know, it was so easy to develop those relationships. Why don't you let them have a relationship with their highest being? Why don't you let them have a relationship with someone who loves them unconditionally? Why don't you introduce them to an idea, concept that will outlast thing that you could possibly say and do? You see what I'm saying? So think about that. Think about that. Let, you know, God is for the babies. It's for everybody. There's never a point in time where you can be too young to say amen, okay? So as we go through every program, we always end our programs in prayer. Why? Because prayer makes things better. Prayer helps us to bring a righteous voice into our words. Prayer helps us to steady ourselves, to be better people. Prayer helps us to remind us the promises that God has for us. Prayer helps us to remember the promises that we are to deliver to God, so the covenant between us. Prayers help us to, when we verbalize them, when we say them out loud, and I suggest everyone say their prayers out loud. Why? That's so that negativity can hear you and run away. Negativity does not like to hear prayers. Okay? Say your prayers. Learn your prayers. Believe in your prayers. Good Lord. That's my co-host right there. That's my spirit is my co-host tonight. If they don't just say it, believe it. Believe in your prayer. How can you believe in the prayer if you're not studying it, if you don't know the words that you're saying, if you don't know the energy behind the words, if you don't know the story of how these words came about in the first place, spend that time. So when I say that I study prayer, that's what I'm studying. When I understand about, you know, tonight I was like, I really wanted to talk about fear, even in a spiritual sense. And it took me straight to the Psalm of David. Psalm of David is very important because, of course, from David comes Solomon. And not just understanding, you know, the origin of the prayer, but also understanding the different relationships that the prayer had with God, okay? There are people, you know, they're called the friend of God. You know what it's like to be a friend of such a high, powerful person? If you think about, you know, in our understanding of powerful or whatever, we know about Oprah and Gail, you know. I'm not an Oprah fan, so that means I'm not a Gail fan either. But this friendship here, how cool would it be to have a friend that you could really talk to about anything? Not someone who gets paid to say yes to you, but someone that'd be like, girl, that does not look right. What are you wearing? You know, just a genuine person. Even powerful people need genuine people around them. These are our fast buddies. let's translate this into a wonderful approach. Those are your fast buddies, all right? Everyone needs a fast buddy to be like, come on now, girl, come on. We've been talking about fasting for a whole, since the last time we were fasting, we were talking about fasting. Come on. We can make it. We can do this. Keep pushing, right? So when you study prayer, that's what you're studying. What is the purpose of this prayer? Is it protection? Is it healing? Is it for praising God, which is his own thing, okay? He is worthy to be praised, and there are prayers just for his praise. There's prayers to beg for, but there are all kind of prayers out of prayers to open the road, prayers to beg for knowledge, for mental clarity, for peace, for all of that, all of it. So when I say study prayer, that's what I'm doing, trying to understand the very essence of the prayer, not just memorizing the words. You know, this is not poetry. These are words in motion with your spirit, okay? So I wanted to go over this particular prayer because this is one of our protection prayers. It's one of our prayers that we're using to strengthen ourselves. And it's a Psalm 27, the Psalm of David. And it goes, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I dread? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of my days. I love that prayer. I love that prayer. If you're ever feeling the fear of this world, because this world is not stronger than God, find your prayer. Hold on to it. Understand it. Say it so that you, your ancestors, all your positive angels, and then all those that come against you will know that you are a child of God and they will not succeed. Use your prayer to cast away all those fears and to strengthen you. Please continue to make your prayers. Don't let this be the last prayer you hear until next Wednesday. But I thank you. Amen.